everyone, and welcome to 10 out of 10 with Recommend, the podcast hosted by me, Talani.
And me, Gina.
That was meant to be a siren horn thing. But yeah, so we said we were gone, basically, for you. We said our goodbyes, Gina Vats, we said bye. All those good things. But we are back with a surprise episode because it's Christmas and because you guys deserve good things, right?
Absolutely. And you know, when we recorded the last episode, we didn't even know this show existed.
We sure
did. Out from the ashes of what this terrible year has been comes the phoenix that is this show. Thank you for listening to that analogy. It's called
I didn't get it, babe. I'll be dead.
You know, a phoenix rises out of the ash. You know what? I shouldn't have even gone abstract. Yeah. It's basically,
babe, you're talking to me.
No. Hey, don't do yourself down like that, Talani.
Okay, sure.
We don't allow for that on this podcast.
Okay, I'm so clever. Yeah, phoenix.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is it's been a rubbish year, right?
Yeah.
We need something entertaining that's going to wrap up this year. The only way that that is right to do, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry.
You cry.
And so this show, Death to 2020, which is the new show from the minds of Charlie Brooker and Annabelle Jones, is coming out on the 27th of December.
Before we even speak to Charlie, I am so excited about watching this. Like, genuinely so excited, because 2020 as yeared, it's been a year of yearing, and it's... It's been years of...
Neither of us are making men today, oh
because
God.
It's just been a lot. And like, we're recording this off the back of being announced to be in tier four. A tier that wasn't even suggested. It wasn't mentioned. I'm sure when this announcement was first made, there was a three-tier system.
Yes, correct.
So where did number four come from? Where?
Mr. Johnson, what are you going to do to me?
I can't take any more, Mr. Johnson,
what are you going to do? Listen, look, usually we're able to come with the positivity, but let me just be real for 2 seconds. This has been rough. And it's like the last 2 weeks, because you know what? I don't know why I thought that just because it's Christmas, I thought, you know what?
They'll give us a day off. Let's have a day off.
It's Christmas. It's the holidays. But it's like these last 2 weeks, it's been a struggle. This has been a really, really tough year. Tough.
Do you know what made me laugh though? And it was a case of like, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. It's when it was like, if you've packed your bags for Christmas, unpack them.
unpack that bag now.
How can you tell us that? How can you say, if you've packed your bags for Christmas, unpack them and drop mic and go off? Are you a prick? Like, what do you mean unpack
12
them?
Hours, you know, 12 hours.
On the motorway. I was going to do my last minute Christmas shopping. I was on the motorway and I was like, yeah, Christmas done out. Like, we're really done out here.
We don't even know when we're going to be free.
Yeah, again. That's a myth. Yeah, so it's a lot, and we're really we understand that like so many people's mental health are going to be affected. My mental health has definitely been affected. So we are sending all the love, all the happiness, all of that good vibes to you guys, and just listen back to episodes. We've been happy before.
Yeah, we've been happy before. I think I might just listen back to the old episodes.
Just
you know,
for joy.
In fact, even the last episode, the amount of joy that we had just doing our little rap, you know,
that was
so happy. And that was a week ago.
It's all good a week ago.
It's all good just a week
about
ago.
About a week ago.
So what is it you guys want to talk about?
2020. A year whose story couldn't be told until now, because it was still happening.
Don't be filming this for one of those casual introductory shots, please. Shit's demeaning.
If I leave my little helper down here, is that out of your box, is it?
With unprecedented access to experts, politicos, monarchs, and average citizens, this is the definitive story of the most historic year in history.
I'm ready.
Well, we've got Annabelle and Charlie here to say 2020. Is that safe to say? No?
A lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure, but it's what you both deserve. You're here to save us all, right?
I think it's beyond saving, really, as a year, isn't it? It's not going to go down as anyone's like favourite year, is it?
No.
Might be the only year I'll be able to go, oh, yeah, I remember 2020.
Mm. Yeah.
All just being one big collective mess.
Mm. Yeah.
I might remember this year. Yeah.
Be one big stain. instead.
Anytime anyone mentions it, everyone's eyes glaze over and they're just, everyone goes back to that moment. We all collectively have, yeah.
I've been seeing loads of people be like, this has been so shit, we better be in the next version of the Bible. Like, we better be. Like,
this is the like, New Testament.
We have to be in a newer, newer Testament because this has been a lot.
Come on. I wouldn't quite put this in biblical terms.
I would put this in the Bible.
It's near biblical, I guess. It's
yeah. It could be like a new Testament that's a bit joyous, but not like, not as, it's not plague like, it's not as awful as the Old Testament. Not awful, God, I'm a Christian. What am I saying?
The end of 2020.
Universal. I think maybe that's what we mean by biblical. It feels this is it, these big stories have affected the whole world at the same time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's definitely true. There's no getting away from it, no matter where you are.
Agree.
Thank you.
And where we are is indoors.
Exactly. So let's get into Death to 2020. Now, Charlie Brooker and Annabelle Jones, you're both writers for, you've made this show, you've gifted us this show at the end of this year. Tell us firstly, what is the show? Because I'll be completely frank with you, it's one of those things where I even worked for Netflix. It was a secret even to me. They didn't tell me anything.
No, it was only you. It was specifically me saying, right. Don't tell you.
You specifically said, don't tell
me. Charlie met you. I said, that Gina girl, don't tell her. Think about it.
I remember her, Black Mirror season 4, that we were doing press. I remember, don't tell her.
Don't tell her.
Chatty Patty, yeah.
Yeah. It's a mockumentary looking back at this year, which, as we all know, has been somewhat momentous, starring a lot of fictional characters. So it's a lot of fictional characters played by a lot of very well-known and amazing people playing absurd sort of fictional characters, looking back over sort of real events of the year, with a few events we've invented as well. So it's a way of doing, it's a slightly different way of doing a kind of look back over the year, but also getting a lot of character comedy in there, hopefully. And also it's a sort of parody of, you know, like there's a lot of like high-end documentaries on Netflix, often about terrible crimes and things like that. But there's a sort of style you expect, like very glossy, dramatic documentaries. So it's slightly sort of tweaking the nose of that as a format as well.
What can you make up in this kind of year, Annabelle? Like, what else can you add to what's happened? Like,
well, coronavirus, that's made up.
this thing called Corona, COVID-19.
5G?
Really? Come on. There's sort of the big global stories. And so this is very much a global show. This is a Netflix show for the world in that sense, tackling the three or four big stories, but hopefully through a very playful and silly and cathartically funny tone, I think, to it. You know, I think we all deserve to look back and just have that moment of going, oh my God, did that really happen? And thankfully, with the vaccine, you know, now being very much a reality, you know, you can allow yourself a little look back and, you know, a relief and almost like an exorcism of the year. Comic exorcism of the year was the plan.
You're both known for, you're known to me at least, with Black Mirror, sometimes you inadvertently predict things.
You're psychics, basically.
Yeah, you're essentially psychics.
That's what it says on my business card.
You say sidekick.
Charlie, you're Annabelle's sidekick.
Yeah.
And a psychic?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you may have predicted anything in this mockumentary, so to speak? And have you ever felt bad that you've predicted things in the past?
There's a weird thing where often, because we did Black Mirror, often people sort of say, oh, this is all a bit Black Mirror, isn't it? Have you seen this story in the news about fridges that can walk and shoot at you? That's a bit Black Mirror, isn't it? And this year, lots of people were saying, God, this is like a Black Mirror episode this year. I don't think, so in a way, when people say that sort of thing, it's flattering because you think, this show I wrote, people are using it as a shorthand for something. That's quite a big deal, isn't it? Although they are using it as a shorthand for something shit. So it's somewhat balanced by that, isn't it? This isn't a predictive, although we did, because obviously in doing this, you have to sort of guess at some of the stuff that's going to happen, because you can't, like, you know, we're filming, you can't film the day before this goes up on Netflix, sort of thing. Yeah. You know, there's a cutoff point for these things. So you have to have sort of alternate versions of things in your head at some point. And we're very lucky, we've got to work with lots of different writers as well. There's some stuff you try and gently predict just to keep ahead of the game in terms of as this is all unfolding. But I didn't predict that there'd be a vaccine breakthrough this year. Thank God for that. Yeah. I mean, we knew that they were working on them, but we didn't. There was a bit about vaccines, I think, that was written before we knew there was actually a proper breakthrough.
Yeah, I can't inject me all over my arm with that vaccine because I want out.
You only need two shots.
No,
not all
I want
over
loads.
Your arm.
I want it everywhere. Charlie, don't leave a mark left over. I want it everywhere just in case, just so I can be out of my house.
You want to swim in it. You want a whole bath of vaccine baths we can all just go and swim in together.
That's exactly what I need, because I've had it. I've absolutely had it. I just want out. So you guys started in October, right?
It was pitched in, what, July, was it? God, I don't know. It's like it never began and never ended.
What is time, to be fair?
No, literally, at this point, what is time?
You're right, though. With the pandemic, obviously, there's like, it's been very strange because it's been a year where it's obviously incredibly stressful and also sort of often boring, because we're prevented from doing the things that are fun a lot of the time. So it is a really weird flavour this whole year.
I can imagine. What was it like getting the cast together? Were they all just happy to get work? Because it has been that kind of year. No offence. It made me like that.
Samuel L. Jackson hasn't worked for 20 years.
Samuel Jackson was waiting. He was like, oh,
he
sure.
He was waiting for me. Like, come on, Annabelle, call me.
For me? Me, he said.
What was that like? Was it like a long post? Was everyone really excited to do it and all of that stuff?
I think maybe everyone must be very bored because they all jumped at the chance to do it.
That's what I mean.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And so in that sense, it was perfect timing. If we're making 2021, they'll all be like, no way, I'm not going to be in that show. I don't know. I think that I think Samuel L. Jackson and Leslie Jones, particularly, their characters are maybe the more anchored, I would say, of our troupe. And they, I think, some of the angrier, more sort of commentary-led jokes, they really shared that opinion, and so they were very keen to sort of to they read the script and it really resonated with them and made them laugh, and they just felt, we want to be part of this. So that was incredibly flattering.
Well, yeah, so Leslie said she was like relishing the chance to say a load of stuff that she kind of felt she liked. It sort of gave her a good excuse to say a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
and the glory of doing a sort of mockumentary approach is that you can take a real diverse range of characters.
Yeah.
So and you tell the year through their perspectives. So we've got a scientist and a psychologist and a historian and a journalist and a politician, and it allows you to take on a story at different angles and laugh at different things.
And it's worth saying that most of those people are idiots. not the actors. I'm not calling the actors idiots. Some of the characters are as Annabelle was saying, some of them are quite like anchored in reality, and others are quite weird or absurd or unpleasant in many ways. In fact, we had a press conference the other day and some of the actors were almost squabbling amongst themselves to decide who was playing the least pleasant character, which was extremely gratifying to see, obviously.
What is the shooting like when it comes to making a show in 2020? And at the end of 2020, when literally yesterday we found out about the new Tier 4 being introduced, was it tough, to say the least, in lockdown restrictions making this?
That partly informed the way this is done, because shooting a documentary, often with a documentary you've got one person on screen talking, recounting a story at a time, which is at the moment, shooting a scene in a cafe with 12 people sitting around a table is a bit like trying to shoot the end of Avengers Endgame or something. Do you know what I mean? In terms of a challenge, as it stands, you do. You know, so you're trying to shoot with a limited crew. You've got everyone gets tests every day. So I think everybody got used to it. I didn't have to do it. My job was to sit in a chair staring at Zoom all the time or type. So, there's a lot. I think everybody got very used to swabs and that kind of thing. So there's all sorts of technical and practical and logistical challenges. It just makes everything that much more of an uphill climb, basically, because, you know, there's a knock-on effect with everything. So instead, you'd normally be in an edit suite, and occasionally the computer crashes in an edit suite, and when that happens, normally you sit around and eat biscuits for a bit. Whereas because you're relying on about eight different people's systems at a time, my internet could go down, or someone else's internet could go. So there's constant sort of low-level annoyances. But, you know, the fact that we can make anything is a miracle, frankly. It's a very good opportunity to keep, you know, to keep the industry going and to keep sort of jobs going. It's sort of, you know, that's obviously a very important aspect of the whole thing, is to do that.
In a way, it's just an, you know, another process added on. I mean, a very difficult one, but, you know, the industry is so tightly crafted that I think, you know, it's an expensive and annoying addition, but, you know, everyone just accepted it and got on with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So in a year that has been like crap, in lack of better words, and insane, and nothing that we'd ever imagined, that we all went into this year like 2020 vision, yeah, it's going to be great, oh my God, clear vision. And that didn't happen. Everybody was blurred. How do you find more insanity in a made-up script for something that's already insane?
Well, you don't really have to. I mean, in a way, you don't have to. You can just sort of get a dizzying sense of vertigo by just stating what's happened. So in many ways, you don't. But often the characters within this are often sort of slightly heightened versions of some of the types of people you've seen throughout the year. So I think there's that. You just sort of slightly dial things up a little.
So the news that we're featuring is real news, and it's real stories of the year. And it's just the characters finding the comedy through the characters. But we haven't invented much news or stories. It's more inventing jokes.
I mean, I haven't seen you. I've seen the trailer, which literally just dropped on Twitter not that long ago. And it looks amazing. But, like, I think the character that I think should be in there, I hope it is. I'm not telling you guys what to do. You guys are both amazing. But it's the African aunties, because they were the most comedic thing to come out of COVID. There was a time my mum sent me a video of a thing like leaving the earth, and she said, that's COVID leaving the earth. And they sent so much fake news. Every day my mum was like, make sure you drink gin and lemon. That's what stops.
Whole onions.
Like, said, don't worry, mum, I've got the gin and lemon.
Don't you worry, I've got it. I've got tequila too, don't you worry, hon. She's like, drink gin and lemon. My mum was cutting up pieces of onions and putting it around the house. Because apparently it's an old folks tale that makes COVID go away. So, I mean, just in case you want to write season two.
If you want to write another one, we're actually available, and so are our aunties, if you want.
How can you have an old wives tale or old folks tale about a new virus?
No, there was an onion everywhere. In every corner of my house was an onion. I'm not joking.
That must have been fun, sitting indoors with the smell of onion emanating. I was about to sort of laugh sarcastically at that, and then I remembered the time that I have on more than one occasion scattered conkers around the house in a bid to ward off spiders, because someone told me once that spiders hate the smell of conkers, and so I'm no better. I can't say that they are necessarily reflected in this, although certainly, people believing odd things about the virus is definitely a thing that we've got.
Right. Okay.
So that side of things, misinformation, you could say, is definitely present and correct.
It's going to be insane to watch something that I know is happening, because Black Mirror, it's like, that's so insane, and then it happens later on in life. But this is like, no, this has happened.
Sorry about that.
It's not our fault.
Yes.
When you're portraying these events and things like that, do you try and remain objective? Is there any point of showing both sides of the story?
Not when it comes to like basic facts, and oddly, that's often where the division lies these days, it seems to me, is depending on which vision of reality you're which reality headset you think you're plugged into, basically, at the moment, seems to be where things fall down a lot of the time. I mean, I think that, like, whenever I've done sort of topical comedy stuff in the past, you could probably tell broadly where I'm coming from, but we'll have jokes that are sort of, that are, you know, there's a bit of 360 degree piss taking going on. So I think that's the healthy, like, rather than being just didactic. There's a lot of things where there isn't really two sides of the story this year, or at least there's only one side that would actually make any objective sense. in reality. So that is sort of a little easier, I guess, this year than it maybe is in some other years.
I suppose we sort of, you know, there's a lot of archive in it. So we're showing real news footage and then letting the characters respond to that.
Yeah. Hmm. All right, I'm going to decide myself, but I'm going to be projecting my own narrative onto it because I've got my own opinion.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, that's the good thing. I mean, if you don't like any of it, just mute it and just talk out loud. Say whatever you
well,
want.
Well, I think this,
it.
Actually.
Well, that's rubbish. I'll tell you what really happened.
Onions.
Onions. Scatter onions around this whole thing would have been over on day three. Couple of onions.
How dare they? So the character of the Queen, how was that casting that? Like, talk to us about that.
I hate to tell you, but the Queen is a real character in real life. It's not the character of the Queen. The Queen is a real person. No, we actually got the Queen. It's Tracey Ullman does an amazing Queen, actually. I think she really enjoyed herself and it was really good fun to watch. It's odd, isn't it? Because is the Queen part of the Netflix cinematic universe, would you say? Because obviously, you know, there's the Crown, which this is not an episode of the Crown, although there is a little thing in there about Her Majesty watching the Crown. So, it would be almost rude not to explore that for a moment. Wouldn't it? There's also Diane Morgan. Is this playing a very average citizen? In fact, one of the most average people in the world.
She's, yeah, that's literally what she's trying to do.
So you know, at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the Queen, who is probably not representative of the average person. So that was fun. And Tracey did an amazing job as well. It's really good fun.
I feel like I know the Queen so much more now because of the Crown. Like, Lisbeth is me and her alike.
The way that you keep calling her Lisbeth.
Her name is Lisbeth.
As if she's your friend?
Yeah, me and Lisbeth. Like, the Crown told me her nickname was Lisbeth, so that's what I call her now.
Are you going to be like Michael Fagan? You're going to sit on the end of her bed and talk to her for...
Yeah,
there's a spoiler if you haven't got to that episode yet.
Oh, she hasn't.
You've ruined everything.
Sorry. It happened.
You can, because you're not letting us talk about the details of the 2020.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. True.
Exactly.
Thank you, Annabelle. I get shocked that things happened this year, because this year feels like it was 10 years long.
Yeah.
So I genuinely wasn't joking when I said that I have no concept of time anymore. Like,
really? What if I told you, like, the steam train was invented this year?
This year too. Yeah.
Do you know what? If you or Annabelle told me anything about life, I'd believe you because you're that influential.
Yeah.
Well, that is terrifying responsibility.
I'm sorry. Sorry to put that on your shoulders.
Did
That's
you know
me bear.
That if you put onions around in your house...
COVID will be gone.
But do you...
Be at the front door and be like, no, they've got onions. I'm going.
Yeah, COVID will be like, stay away.
Ah, damn onions.
But do you realise how influential you've both become? You're not agreeing with me. You're shaking your head, but...
No, you have to be, because you might not be familiar with this podcast. What we like to do is tell our guests how amazing we are. We have no decorum. We don't like to act like we are like, oh, this is so like, this is normal, talking to Annabelle and Charlie. No, we're very aware this is a huge deal. Yeah. We are mere mortals.
Annabelle looks so uncomfortable.
We're all mere mortals here.
No, not compared to you two. And we're here to tell you that we think you guys are amazing, as white as ourselves.
Amazing and really famous.
It's the time scale in which you do things together. I've been trying to write a book for about 5 years.
Why would you bring that up?
I've missed so many deadlines.
Neither of us have finished our book projects. You've written a whole bloody documentary about the entirety of
in
this year, which has both been a year long and 10 years long.
I'll tell you what the difference is. Just a deadline. That's all you need.
But
set yourself a deadline. But don't miss it. You need to, what you need.
Charlie, it's not that easy.
Look, what you need, but who's setting the deadline?
Like the publishers and stuff. And then I'm like, oh, there's been a pandemic. It's been a hard year. I'll do it when I can.
Okay, well, all you need to do is stop trying to make it good and just get it done. Because
you
then...
That is true.
You've just got to... Have you read... you should get a copy of On Writing by Stephen King. You know, right. Stephen King, like, have you read that book?
No, I haven't.
I haven't, which is why
I'm in this position.
You haven't even got around to it. Okay, he's very good at enthusing you to read. I mean, maybe you just need to get more afraid of those deadlines, frankly, because that's all you need is otherwise you'll just create excuses not to get it done, and you just need to get it done, even if it's rubbish. The first pass of anything is terrible. So the vomit pass or the dog shit pass, as they call it, it doesn't matter because it will only improve from there on in. Just get it done. Get it bloody done. Consider me a life coach. bloody just do it.
How much I'm enjoying listening to Charlie talking about meeting deadlines.
Oh my God, here's
Annabelle,
the tea, Charlie.
Annabelle, come through with the Annabelle, tea, Annabelle.
Tell us all. How many did he miss? Annabelle, how many deadlines
come
did he miss? Tell
us tea, everything. Annabelle, and the receipt. You,
how many deadlines did I miss? Come
how
on.
How many did he miss, Annabelle? Hope. Tell us.
How many deadlines did I actually miss?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
How many deadlines has Charlie ever hit?
Oh, I love this for us. This is great content.
How many deadlines? Come on, then. How many deadlines have I hit?
I can't think of one.
Man.
Who asks for false deadlines? Because they know they can't hit deadlines.
Oh. Is that you, Charlie?
Is that you, Charlie? Would that be Charlie?
I don't think that is.
I think
I'm quite weird. By that, I think you'll find I don't often miss deadlines. In fact, I don't think I really have missed a deadline for a draft. Ah, no, we're disagreeing on this. And also, I was working as a newspaper, like for newspapers for years. You can't miss your deadline. You have to, that's what you...
Yeah, but that was old Charlie. New Charlie.
That was old Charlie.
Yeah, definitely old Charlie now.
This is like when we bring into the Zoom all of the publishers that Charlie's worked with, and they'll go, he always missed a deadline. It's like in the wings.
Are you sure they won't? Really very attacked here.
What's the
total misrepresentation.
Okay, let's go back to saving your working relationship, right?
Yeah.
So,
tell us. So, who hits all his deadlines? Let's clear that one up.
Annabelle, I thank you so much for bringing the truth to light.
That was brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're all human. Tell us what... Sorry, Charlie. Tell us what a typical day in the Brooker Jones workforce looks like. What's your partnership dynamic like when it comes to creating things?
God, well, I mean, in the middle of a pandemic, a lot of it is Zoom, isn't it? It's like it is for anyone, really. I mean, it's sort of different with this than it probably is for, like, drama things that we've done, because this is this being a comedy, a lot of it revolves around a sort of, in a way, I'm knitting together a lot of material from myself, archive material. There's like straight sort of historical documents, as it were, and lots of one-liners from writers. So it's a sort of different, it's a very different process to what you'd call breaking story or something, which would be more of the drama things that we'd be doing, where become a bit of a cliche, but it's an endless game of what if, you know, such and such a thing happened, and what if that happened? And you just sort of bounce the ideas around. That's the initial stage. And then obviously, as you go through production, there's just a lot of it is countless pedantry, isn't it, really? It's like countless, like looking at tiny little details and going, oh, I don't know about that typeface, or that costume isn't quite right, or what about this, or should this edit be a little more, you know? So a lot of it is sort of comparing details. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Well,
I'm missing deadlines, obviously. Yeah, just missing, watching deadlines whoosh by. That's the other one.
You missed out the whole big thing of casting and
what's he like?
Getting a director and, you know, those things. But yeah, it's all very pedantic. No.
Well, a lot of that is pedantic, isn't it? A lot of it is.
No. I don't know. What was the question again? Was it how much...
Do you like Charlie?
Yeah, how does your I want to know about the partnership.
Sometimes I'm a healthy, sometimes unhealthy.
You've always described it as a healthy disrespect.
I like that. I'm into that.
Healthy and sometimes unhealthy disrespect.
But also it creates magic. It's fine.
But it is interesting, how the Zoom challenges that. So, you know, you can be in a room with someone and you can disagree and not the tension, but that moment can be dissipated, because then it's like, right, let's go and get a cup of tea, or let's go out and get, you know, and let's grab, you know, go to the street market and have something to eat. And those little pressure points those releases of pressure that you rely on in an everyday, day to day, you don't have when you're on Zoom. Mm. So I think it does make, you know, it makes every working relationship just more strained, I would say.
Well, also, you have to sort of book in, don't you, to talk to anyone. Again, like, because if you're in an office, you'll just sort of chat constantly, won't you? You're just sort of constantly, because everyone's having to work remotely, you have to schedule everything, basically. You have to sort of schedule. And so it's sort of weird, isn't it? Because it means that everyone's working life, I guess, has gone curiously informal at the same time as everyone's in their house and you're sort of sitting there in your pants and your kids are wandering in and out or whatever in your chat. But also more formal because everything has to be, you're sort of constantly sitting around in a conference.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and so that is a challenge. None of us can wait to actually be properly in an office.
I miss it.
We're all going to get sad now, aren't we? But it makes life a lot easier, doesn't it? It really does. Mm-hmm. It's a slightly cold world, isn't it? Having to communicate via a screen all the time. You know, we warned about that in this little show we did once. so, yeah.
Right. Okay. So
that's brought us all down. Thanks for that.
No, it's fine. Let's bring it up. Let's bring the energy up. So we've been watching a lot of telly, I can assume, and this whole podcast is 10 out of 10 would recommend. What TV shows or programs or anything have you guys been watching that you would recommend? It doesn't have to be Netflix, but seeing as Netflix pay all of us on this call.
So in other words, it does have to be Netflix. Is that what you're saying?
No, it doesn't.
Some Netflix shows, even if you hate them. That's what you're saying.
No, it doesn't. Be free. Do what you want.
What have I been watching lately? I mean, I've done all the sort of, I've probably watched all the things that everybody was watching throughout the year. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, Tiger King, Normal People, I May Destroy You, like The Crown, so we're sort of watching at the moment. Like when you get a moment to watch it, like because we've been working on the edit and stuff. So, God, all of the above. I like a documentary as well. I like a good documentary series. So there's been plenty of those.
Annabelle?
I've been watching a lot of Modern Family.
Great taste.
And it's a really lovely thing. I'm watching it with my children who are very, you know, flattered, you know, and like feel very grown up to be allowed to be watching it. And it's just such a lovely, I mean, incredibly funny, very well crafted, but wholesome comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Really love it. Oh, I just think it's so well done. I love it. So I'm going to start watching a few Christmas specials of that.
God, I suppose maybe I should get into that because I've never seen it. There must be about 1,000 episodes.
There's loads, yeah.
It's a good time to get into it.
Because we did Schitt's Creek as well. Schitt's Creek was another one.
I've been doing that, yeah.
And like everyone says, it takes about a season.
It sure does.
But you hate them to start with, and then you're like, "Oh, I really like them
what
now."
What a nice family!
But what's the last show that you either of you watched that made you envious? You thought, "Oh, that's good, isn't it?
That's good, isn't it? Have a bit of that, yeah."
Shall produce that,
yeah.
Shows that goes wrong, I'm quite envious of. You know that on BBC where the acting troupe take on a different genre each week.
What's it called, sorry?
A Show That Goes Wrong.
Okay.
I haven't seen that, but I know it.
It's just really cleverly done, and it's funny, and it's silly, and, you know, a little bit like sometimes in Black Mirror, it's, you know, you take on a particular genre and you sort of try doing it a different way or something like that. And I suppose it taps into that. But it's just very funny and very silly, and I love the sort of inherent slapstick, the farcical nature of it. I think this year has been, I've been, like a lot of people, attracted to very wholesome, innocent, funny stuff. And it feels like that.
It's a very good show. It's kind of like Airplane, things like that. It's sort of very, very silly. And you can sit there and watch it with your kids. It's like, it's that rarity, which is a sort of big, a family show that's as enjoyable for the adults as it is for the kids. So that's good. And then, I mean, I get serious professional envy over almost everything I watch, but sometimes it's literally like, God, look at the budget. Look at that. Like, you watch The Crown, there'll be a scene where there's like 10,000 extras, and it's all filmed in, you know, they've flown to flipping middle of Australia to film a 10-second sequence. Of course, they haven't really. They'll have done lots of very clever things, but I'll sit there going, God, blimey. Whatever I'm into at the moment, I'll be like, I could never have done that. The weather report, I probably feel like that. I couldn't predict the weather like that.
But you could predict the world ending and all us working on Zoom and screen and it ruining our lives. So well done on that.
It's been a terrible, terrible year. But like, you know, the Black Mirror version of it or the dystopian drama version of it would have been everyone fighting in rubble on day two. And there's been a lot more social community, like...
togetherness.
You know. Yes, there's been more of that than a paranoid maniac might have anticipated.
The Black Mirror version would have been people too apathetic to even fight. They're too busy on their screens.
Oh, Christ, you made that show sound really depressing.
Thank you guys so much for coming on. We'd really, really appreciate this. I cannot wait to watch it. I don't know if I should watch it the day it comes out or like on Christmas Day. I can't think. I don't know what day I want it.
Well,
to
it's out after Christmas Day.
I don't know what's happening. Okay, but thank you very much. Like you said, Charlie, I'm going to just do it and try to write some more during this Christmas
holiday. I felt like I just bullied you into that. Now.
You did.
But start small. Do a small bit.
I'm going to write a shout out to you when it comes out. Here's to Charlie. Thanks
me
for
too.
Being.
Okay. I get some royalties, yeah? You've just agreed to that. No. I heard it. We all heard it.
All witnesses.
Bye. Bye, guys. Bye, Annabelle. Bye, Charlie.
Bye.
Have a good Christmas. Happy New Year. What do we do? Do we literally now just click hang up?
Yeah.
Do that awkwardly?
Yeah, you can leave. Annabelle's out. She's on back.
Bye.
I say it was a train wreck and a shit show, but that would be unfair to trains and shit.
So will this be on Quibi?
So, what have you been watching on Netflix?
Oh, God. So, since we've gone back into another lockdown, our third lockdown of the year.
Yep.
So we're winning, guys. Everyone else in Europe, we're winning. I have decided to just find another series that I can just binge watch. So I've gotten back into How to Get Away with Murder.
Right. I stopped watching that, by the way. I got really into it, then stopped.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll go back in.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. The thing about How to Get Away with Murder, and this is absolutely nothing against Auntie Shonda, Auntie Viola, like nothing, right? It's just that the show is so absurd.
It's a lot.
Absurd and it's chaotic.
Look at your phone for 2 seconds. You've missed 5 murders and an abortion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you've missed all of that. I just looked down. I just looked at a text. I looked at it and I've missed the whole show. I used to rewind it all the time. Every time I was watching, I was like, yep, nope, don't understand what happened there.
I did the exact same thing because I missed someone getting shot and I was like, hold on, had to go, you know, the little 10 seconds back thing. I was like, hold on, what happened
there?
So that's what I'm doing. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm on season 4. Nearing the end of season 4. So
I think all
you?
Of the episodes are on Netflix now, actually.
Yes, I think they are.
It took them a while to put it all up, but I think all of them are now on it. I've gone back to watching TV that makes me feel good, I'll be honest. I've gone back to rewatch things. I've gone back to rewatch Schitt's Creek, and I've watched this episode continuously, and it's the episode where they sing You're Simply the Best, like when Noah sings
it. Oh, that's a lovely one.
I love that episode so much. I love that version of that song so much. So I'm just watching things that make me feel good. And that is the Schitt's Creeks, the Modern Families, the like just the easy background stuff that's just there. And it doesn't matter if you watch an episode over and over again, it's there.
Did you ever watch The Office US?
Yes, I got into it a little bit. Didn't it go away from Netflix and come back?
It's coming back in January.
Ooh!
So
everybody stay calm.
That was the exact tweet that we used to announce it.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So you should absolutely watch it. If you haven't seen The Office US, I really think that now is the best time to get into that show. I really, really love it. Like really, really, it's my exact humor. But it's just like, if you like Parks and Rec or you like 30 Rock, it's kind of in that same vibe of like, yeah, you know, they look to camera, all that stuff. You know, people use memes of it all the time. Yeah. You kind of missed it, but then like it'll be now a good time to sort of catch up on what everyone was laughing about. It's that kind of thing, you know?
Do you know what's that vibe as well? Do you know what? Let's see feel good shows since we're in the world we're in now.
Yeah.
Friday Night Dinner on Netflix.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I love that show so much. But that show is like, so that's actually a Channel 4 original.
Yeah.
That show to me is like what I see as quintessential British humour.
To everything about it.
Like even the bit about it, it's kind of like corny, but like even that is like British humor.
And I don't know why that exists, but things like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but Mrs. Brown's Son gets a recognition because that is the shittest show.
My mum loves Mrs. Brown's Boys.
How?
There's an audience for it because again, it's the quintessential.
Do you know how much a man watch it? That shit goes off the records every year.
Yeah, they love it. They love it.
They're gagging for it. I think it's awful.
You know what it is? I think it's panto culture. Because you know how it kind of talks to... Did you ever used to go to pantomimes when you were younger?
No, because I was black.
Right, okay. Did you not go to your school?
My mum didn't have time for that. No, you went to Pantomime with your... What fancy school did you go?
My mum worked at a school in it, so the teachers used to get panto tickets. Anyway, look.
They just about gave us milk cartons in my school, but go use the water fountain, innit? If you're thirsty.
The way you recount your childhood sometimes, no, you need to actually put some respect on your childhood.
It was a great time. It was a lot of fun.
The way, like, I grew up with just a rag. I didn't know who Santa was.
I had to walk to school with no shoes.
Literally, I didn't have nothing. I used a little blade, a knife to brush my teeth. Like, what?
No, we just didn't. I never went to a pantomime, but I do know the whole idea of, is he there? No, he is.
Yeah,
no,
it's very like elaborated and like, yeah. So I think that's why people like it. But no, I totally agree with you. It's in that same vein. Like, it's a spectrum, isn't it? And it's
But Friday night dinner is so, it's so funny to me. Do you know what's actually quite nice and it's quite an easy thing to watch? It's Voices of Fire. It's like a talent show, but like for gospel choirs.
Oh, wait, is that new? That just come out.
Yeah, that's just come out, yeah.
Yeah, I saw. Is that the one with? I actually don't know, but Pharrell, I think I saw.
There's an episode of Pharrell in it. Yeah, there's definitely an episode of Pharrell in it.
Do you know what else is? I don't know if this is necessarily feel good, but I really loved it. People Just Do Nothing. Have you seen that?
Where's that on?
It's, you can watch it on Netflix, but it's another BBC show, so we licensed it. Watch People Just Do Nothing, Talani.
Wait, have I seen that? No, what I'm thinking about when you say People Just Do Nothing is This Country.
No. Oh, okay. So it's like, it's not This Country, but I think it's in a similar vein only because it's a very, you know, where it's like them shows where it's so realist that you don't even know if they're acting or not. Like, they're acting, but it's so real. That is what people just, it's about like a pirate radio station.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just watch it. I promise. I think you'd really like it.
Because I thought This Country was hilarious.
I know. I need to finish it. I didn't watch season two.
Oh my God. There was a time because that kind of humor, that's why I used to love In Between Us back in the day, because that sort of humor is my shit. Friends, best friends.
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious. Like, I think it's so funny. And This Country has that vibe to it. It's brilliant. Like, I think it's actually brilliant television. That's what we're saying. Like, watch things that make you feel good. This does not make you feel good, but it's a really good show. It's called Industry. It's BBC. It's brilliant. Sick.
That's only on BBC, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. But yeah, those are our recommendations for this week. Also be sure to watch Death to 2020.
Make sure you watch Death to 2020. If you ever watched Charlie Brooker's Newswire, where he sort of rounds up the year in a funny way, I think that you would definitely like this. It's really great. Charlie and Annabelle are bloody great.
They're
them. They're really great. I was kind of scared.
Same. What was I? Because like, you know how I am around people that I know are better than me. I'm like, yeah. I just chat shit and I hate myself for it. But, but they were sick.
They were really, really nice, which makes me want to watch it even more. So everyone, make sure you watch that. And if you've got any other recommendations, please use the hashtag 1010 would recommend. We've been reading your little hashtags when you use them and it makes us really happy. So thank please you continue guys. Using it, whatever you're watching over the break. And hopefully we'll see you again soon, because we came from back from the dead. So who knows if we'll come back again with another bonus. I don't know.
We'll see, innit? Have a lovely Merry Christmas. That's not the right way it goes. Have a lovely Christmas. There's no need for the merry. Have a merry, lovely Christmas.
I just said the same thing. Changed the
Bye,
word.
Guys. I've been Tolani.
And I've been Gina. And you can find us on @Tolly_T on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me @SmileGina, G-E-N-A on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. And you can find Netflix UK @Netflix UK on Twitter, Instagram, @Netflix on TikTok and Netflix UK on YouTube. Make sure that you follow. Love you back.
Bye.